Welcome to another episode of the Data Topics podcast. Today we'll be talking about the fuzzy concept of data monetization. Around the table, I have Bart and Ben. Bart and Ben, would you care to present yourselves?
Yes, I'm Ben, information management graduate, which is a master that put an emphasis on bridging the business and IT gap, or business and data gap. I then did a traineeship at Telenet, a Belgian telco company, as a data analyst within a center of excellence called Data Strategy and Analytics. And there we really focused on data valorization, strategy execution, and AI experimentation. And then afterwards, I moved towards a data strategy role here at Data Roots, and I'm a part of Kevin's team, and currently working at a project in the media sector.
Hello. So yeah, my name is Bart Hamers. Welcome and thanks for having me. Who am I and what did I do in my previous life? So I worked, in fact, all my life in data. I did also more an academical start here at the University of Leuven. And at this moment, I'm the head of the Center of Expertise in Analytics and Artificial Intelligence at BNP Paribas Fortis. My main interests around this topic are indeed AI, obviously, as I studied that, but also AI strategies and how can you really make best use of what you do with your data in your organization and extra, obviously, with a zoom on AI. How can that really benefit your organization?
All right. So I think we've already have a few hooks to start the conversation with. So data monetization, from what I read, it's such a broad term. I think the one you mentioned, Ben, is maybe even broader, data valorization. But it's also, it's because of its breadth, it is very fuzzy. So on the one hand side, you have monetization, so selling your data. I think that's an understanding some people might have of the concept. But technically, if you use data to generate value in whichever form, that could also be considered data monetization. So I don't know what your thoughts are on data monetization. What is your understanding?
In my opinion, indeed, you have a broader concept, which is valorization, data valorization. And I think there are three kinds of value there. First and foremost, you have the financial or the quantifiable value, which we're discussing today. Secondly, you have strategic ROI, which is a measure in how you measure how much you're contributing towards the strategic business goals of the company. So it could be that, for example, you have a sustainability initiative, which is very important for the image of the company. It might not bring monetary value in the bank, but it's still very important to reach the goals and to have the right image for the customers. And then thirdly, there's also like capability value, capability ROI. When you're executing a strategy, AI use case, for example, that you're building certain capabilities which can be reused in the future for other use cases. So that's one kind of ROI as well. And I think within those three, you have one which is financial value. And there you can indeed have a split between direct and indirect.
So there you really focus the understanding of monetization in financial terms.
Indeed. At least that's how I would perceive data monetization, but I think the definition is not always straightforward. Depends on where you find the definition, I guess. But that's how I see the difference between valorization as a whole and data monetization being a part of that.
Yeah, to add to that, indeed, data monetization is a topic that you see more and more coming up the last couple of years. I think it's also a bit a result of the fact that a lot of companies have now reached a certain level of maturity. They have done their first proof of concepts. They have done a lot of investments in data management, in AI, in data quality, data governance. And now they're asking themselves three very, very basic questions. Why did we do that? And why are we doing that? What are we doing? And what are we influencing? And then mainly shareholder value related. How does that really influence our numbers, our books? And then last but not least is also really, how are you going to measure it, both on the profit side and on the cost side? How are we going to measure the impact of all the effort that we have put into that? And those three questions combined, in fact, define a bit, yeah, how can you monetize your data? And what did we now finally get out of it after all these years of investment?
So you position it more as a justification. How do we justify the investments and the efforts that we put into data analytics AI by demonstrating the value it generates.
Yeah, it's a matter of really justifying of what you're doing and also projecting yourself towards the future. What are you going to do as a next step? I think most companies started by mainly looking within their company. What are we going to do? What are we going to improve, increase, innovate? But I think now also more and more companies are looking outside of their perimeters, and they're thinking about data as something that I can potentially exchange with other companies, with their own clients, with other clients, or perhaps to completely build new products with that. Sometimes even things that are next to their traditional business model, something that they are completely exploring and newly exploring. And indeed, data offers that possibility. It's this new asset that you have within your organization that you can monetize.
But there's a big breadth in what you describe as well. So do you then put under the umbrella of monetization both performance management, things that make your company more efficient? Do you consider that monetization? And then equally the external ones? So if you look more towards the external world, selling your data, selling your insights, are both covered under the umbrella of data monetization?
I don't put any constraints on it. Yes, I think it's really the general concept of where does it bring added value in your organization? Within your organization or outside of your organization, even towards your clients. And that can cover the more intangible elements like a reputation, customer satisfaction, very fluffy terms. But in the end, it's also a way how to monetize data or how a data can indeed contribute to your organization.
You kind of mentioned the internal external fact earlier. Does that kind of resonate also with what you mentioned, Bart, on the internal being in more internally focused cases on maybe churn, maybe more decision support systems, things that are within the company, and then the external ones where you try to look outside, how you can maybe make a subscription model out of it, how you can sell the data, how you can add it to a product, enrich a product. Are we talking about the same?
We are more or less talking about the same. For me, the last one is an extension of the first. For me, it's all about answering to the question of why are we doing it and why are you using data to do what within your organization? And for me, you can put it into three big categories. Either you do it to improve something existing within your organization. And that's what we typically understand as process efficiency, for example. And then if we talk about examples, it's email routing or process mining or data quality improvement. This is really to improve the existing within your organization. So big category, why are we doing it? To improve. The other one is to increase. And increase, what do I mean by that? Mainly increase your revenue, the revenue of your organization. Are you doing it to sell more? And that's very often the reason. You're doing it to sell more. And then you can see, okay, what am I going to sell more? Is it what I already do as an organization? I'm selling books. I'm selling, in our case, financial products. Is it that you want to, that you want to stimulate? Or are we going to start selling new things? And for me, start selling new things is also on the innovation side. And that's for me the third big why are we doing it? It's really to innovate. It's really to challenge the current business model of your organization and to start building completely new products. These can be add-ons of the existing products or completely new products. And if you're talking about selling data, that's really selling data of your organization to collaborate with others. That can be a completely new business model for a lot of organizations. So it can work on each of these three dimensions. And that's for me also how the crossover goes from internal data monetization towards more external data monetization.
Yeah, the improve versus increase.
Improve, increase, innovate.
Yeah.
To come back what you said earlier, I think indeed there is a misconception that data monetization is only about selling data. If you look up examples, I did some research. I think often they also highlight the fact that, for example, a company like Strava, they give you more insights based on your data and that you would pay for that so that you get a premium subscription. That this is data monetization, but I agree with Bart that it's much broader than that. And indeed, if you're talking about improving the existing, I think even there you have a lot of use cases. Could be making more data-informed decisions, which you could do by building dashboards and so on. but also by building AI models which predict certain things. And indeed, increasing revenue is like related to that. If you would, for example, build an upsell model or a cross-sell model, and you would apply it in a real-time experiment, then you can really see, okay, we have an uplift of X percent, and that way you can easily quantify how much more revenue you're generating, and then you can make a business case. But with the indirect, for example, with the dashboards and so on, I think it's much more difficult to calculate your ROI. I don't know if you have something to tackle that, or how you would quantify the ROI with indirect internal data monetization. Is it something you can do?
Well, it's a matter of setting yourself a KPI. And I think on everything what you do with data monetization or in the context of data monetization, is it to increase your revenue, to reduce your costs in financial context, to reduce your risks, or to improve your capital amounts that you need to set aside, or the reputational element, which is a third dimension that you can influence. For each of them, you can define KPIs. The easiest ones are obviously, if it brings money, okay, you can measure it. It's an income, it's a new revenue stream, and that you can measure that cash flow. Easy to do, I would say. Net cost savings, if you're working on the operating expenses, net cost savings that you can measure. It is obviously harder to measure the more intangible dimensions, reputational dimensions. Ways how organizations do that is customer satisfactions is measured by a net promoter score. That's something that you could do. So it's just a matter of really setting yourself a KPI and start seeing if what you do with your data initiative is influencing that and impacting that. But indeed, those ones, the reputational ones, the customer satisfaction dimensions, it's a lot harder to measure that. And even more, I think, before you see the outcome and the effect of that, it takes also a lot longer. You can do a very nice initiative to make your client more happy by optimizing your customer journeys. But it takes really a long time before the people will notice it and will give a more positive evaluation on that. But that shouldn't avoid or that should not stop you from doing it and from measuring it and indeed to see what the impact is.
Yeah, I agree. I think key here is to make everything, all initiatives, as measurable as possible, that you have real KPIs that you can follow up on them, and the degree to which your initiative is contributing, I mean, the AI initiative is contributing towards the business goal. That way you can indeed try to take an assumption on how much value it generated.
That's a typical approach that is indeed taken in a lot of business case exercises and the likes. Question there is those efforts are typically done upfront before an initiative is started. I guess monetization also means you should follow up and measure what value have we generated. In your experience, is that often done, that the business case is actually checked after realization, whether it realized what it was supposed to?
It's a difficult exercise indeed, and it's not always followed until the end. It's also because you step by step, you refine how you're going to measure it, and you will get more input about it. And as you describe it yourself, every process and every new project goes through different processes, from ideation to really the implementation, and then the aftercare and the follow-up of it. At every moment, you have more information. So in the very early beginning, when you define the business case, it will be really a lot of guessing that you need to do. And that's fine. That's not a problem. I think it's good that you do that. I think it's good that you sit together with the business, with your stakeholders, to set up front some KPIs, to do some expectation management also. It's even very healthy to do that in the beginning. But agree that it will be very, very vague in the beginning. Once you put it into production, you already have another level of information and another granularity, because then you can really measure it. And then last but not least, you put it in production, you measure it, and you see if it then really works. In the beginning, it will work. Perhaps after a certain while, it doesn't work anymore. And all of that you need to do at every stage of the process. You need to do this measurement to really learn, because I think data monetization and even in general, I think the whole world of data, there's not a lot of experience with what it doesn't know really bring. And again, it's not really a problem, but give yourself the time to learn. But you can only learn out of experience by really measuring it. Perhaps it's a bit too much linked to my history as a physicist. You can only know it if you measure it. But in fact, it's true. You need to start measuring it, even if it is in the beginning not very clear how you do that. You need to start doing it and draw conclusions out of it in the end.
So following the scientific approach.
Following the scientific approach, yes.
But the thought I had there is the in the data space, you hear this a lot about that we need to prove the value, we need to demonstrate the value. Is that from a kind of, it's a young field? Is it the uncertainty that is playing in that context as well? Because I think other parts of an organization are maybe less concerned with how much value are we generating for the organization. I have the impression that the data team has this pressure and wants to demonstrate this and feels the need to do so. Maybe more so than another department. Does that have anything to do with this concept? You have data monetization. You don't have necessarily human capital monetization or finance valorization you have, but...
It is true. It is true. I think a lot of data organizations, data departments are struggling by justifying themselves. And I think many of them want to go too fast, too quick, and really do an almost in an accounting way, a proof of their added value. That's very hard to do so. And I think at this moment, we just don't have the experience yet to do so. You have people who have written books about it, like Doc Landley on Infonomics. I'm not really a fan of going as far as that. But you need to start somewhere. I think you can also not avoid the question. You need to, especially for the end products that you're delivering, the reporting use cases, the analytics use cases, you should be able to define a business case up front. And you should not be afraid also to afterwards measure it and see if it really worked. How else can you learn if something works or if it doesn't work? Only by doing that. But not in the beginning. That's at least my conviction. Not too detailed in the beginning. I think you need to give yourself the time to innovate, to work with a certain level of vagueness in the early beginning before you're going to do the accounting until the last digit or the smallest digit. Because I fear that if you do that too early, you kill the innovation too soon. Because in the beginning, it is just for a big part unknown. And if you're going to really, as of week one, start following out on that, then you might kill the project too soon.
Yeah, so I like what you're saying, because what you're saying is it's actually more of a tool to help prioritize in the beginning, to make sure you invest in the right initiatives, and then to learn also as you go which initiatives were successful, how did they generate value, and to have a vehicle or a means to follow up, less to be scientifically exact in the way you attribute costs and value to every nitty-gritty part of that chain. Like, for example, in Infonomics, they try to even get it on a balance sheet, which I think is next level in for most organizations. If you're a pure data organization, maybe. But for most organizations, that seems like a bridge too far. So I like that perspective. I don't know, Ben?
Yeah, I have two things to add to that. I think first, indeed, it depends on which area in data you're touching. I think if you're building a new capability, it's a bit more difficult to justify the cost, because you need to look for the use cases and you have to really do a difficult exercise on what value it will bring. I think, for example, if you have a very tangible use case in sending communication towards customers and seeing how much more they are taking a subscription, yes or no, you can then really do A/B testing. And that's something I would really recommend in many situations, to do A/B testing. And then you can extrapolate and try to estimate at least and do the prioritization exercise. I think secondly, it depends on the first, the second, or the third area. I think you mentioned improving services and products and so on. Secondly, efficiency focused or...
Increase revenue.
Increase revenue, indeed. And then thirdly is the innovation side. And I think in the innovation area, I think it's important to approach it in a more portfolio-based thinking, that you do, for example, 10 to 15 experiments and that you just need one to be very successful. So there you don't have to look at each business case separately, but more look at it as a whole, as a portfolio. And that's a different way of working within the first two areas, I think.
I agree and I disagree. So I agree that this portfolio thinking is very, very, very interesting to do. I would not limit it only to the innovation parts. I really like the idea of looking at everything that you do with respect to data as a kind of investment portfolio and really approach it like that. And what can we then learn from a good investor? Don't put all your eggs in the same basket. That's rule number one. So try a lot of things and then measure it and then see what works, what doesn't work. Another dimension that a lot of people, and especially very young data departments, tend to forget is that you need to spread your investments also in time. You need to have some short-term use cases, some things that bring value quite soon. Very typically, these are the process efficiency use cases. You need some use cases that are more on the midterm. Typically, these are the cross-selling, upselling, the more the increase use cases. And then you need to have some moonshots too. You need to have some ideas that are more in the innovation domain, some completely new ideas that you need to test, and you need to have them too. You need to work on all these three levels of timing to have a successful portfolio. Why am I saying this? Too often you see that either they're in one or in the other category. Either they are in the full innovation category, which is very dangerous as a team, because let's admit, after half a year, after a year, your senior management is chasing you and is asking, okay, show me the money. What did you now do with all the investments? And if you then can only say, okay, we will only see this in 2-3 to 5 years, they will, that's not going to work. The opposite is that people are starting to focus more and more and only on the short term. And what surprises me at this moment, even I see this a lot. A lot of organizations are focusing for a big part on process efficiency, especially now today where NLP and all these algorithms are becoming very, very popular. Very often they focus on improving the existing processes, and their value is therefore very short-term focused. You need to balance it. You need to have a bit of both. And don't forget also the old school data mine, the old school AI, where you work on the revenue streams, where you do the cross-selling, the upselling, the segmentation, the attracting new client. That's still also a domain that you should work on, because this is, for me, this medium-term revenue stream that you need to have in your portfolio too.
Yeah, that's when I looked up the most successful data monetization cases. That's the ones you get. So the Google Ads suggestions, recommendations is they generated a lot of value for Google, and it's a model that's running and that's making those recommendations. So it's a data-based product. Talking about data-based products, you have the whole trend now on data products linked to another buzzword, but more data mesh. Is this data product thinking also, does according to you, it also fit within this data monetization scheme or not entirely? Do you still see it as something different?
I think that not every data product should have the reason of existing to monetize data. I think, for example, let's say you're a bank and you want to provide your customers with insights on which categories they buy most in, then this should be a feature in the basic subscription, let's say. It should be part of the application. You shouldn't monetize it and make it a premium version, but that's up to the bank. But I don't think every data product that you build should have the idea of data monetization.
But then you're considering monetization again as more the external money-generating use cases, where it's not the broad definition we used at the beginning, where we said it's any data initiative that generates value in some form or fashion can be considered as data monetization. You're generating value from data that would otherwise sit idle.
If we're talking valorization, then I think indeed that when you build a data product, the main idea is to generate value, right? But if we're talking monetization in its strict form, then I would say that it really depends on the situation and on the product features of your product and how far you want to go in monetizing and customer service on the other hand. So it's finding the balance, I think.
Yeah, my take on that would be that if you take a product perspective, it's somehow to be more customer centric and to think in terms of value for that customer. So it's even more value-driven, using the value-driven approach to data, which I wouldn't understand as a more emphasis on monetization and less on things that are maybe that nobody's waiting for. You always have a customer, or you should have a customer, somebody who's actually asking for this data inside product.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think it's not a coincidence that both topics, the data mesh with this data product way of thinking and data monetization, that they both come up at the same time, in fact, that in the last couple of years became very popular. It's for me related to the fact that a lot of companies are maturing in the domain of data. And they are seeing also that this data is not just a byproduct of their internal processes. It's something that can serve very often a lot more people in the organization, or perhaps even clients, or perhaps people outside of the organization. And in order to stimulate that, they ask the teams that are focusing on data, really see it as a product, see it as something that goes beyond a byproduct, something that you need to govern and manage and respect the quality and set up rules and responsibilities, the old school data governance principles. Really see it as something that you can bring as an added value to internal or external clients within the organization. And you need to really, again, stimulate people to think like that. And that's for me a bit the idea behind data mesh. And that's also the underlying idea behind data monetization.
So if this new trend, data monetization, data mesh related to that, up and coming, what do you see as the main challenges around this, getting this monetization philosophy out there? Are there particular hurdles, barriers?
One of the big hurdles is trust. If you're talking about data monetization, if you're talking about data sharing, insights sharing, you should not forget that you're very often, at least in the context of client data, you're using data of clients. You have also process data, obviously, but also there, it's data of your organization. Can you just share it without more? And especially in the context of client data, the answer is clear. No, you can't. There's a very good reason why we have privacy rules. There's a very good reason why the whole ethical debate is starting. And I really don't see this as a constraint. I think it's more something that can stimulate data sharing, that can stimulate data monetization. Okay, in a constrained environment, it's true, you can't just do anything with that. But if you manage to do data monetization while preserving the trust of your clients, of the owners of the data, being it your clients or somebody else, I think that's the magical sauce. That's what you need to have. If you don't do that, very soon you will be blocked. And again, this ethics and the ethical discussion, the privacy discussion, I really don't see it as a constraint. I see it more as something that can stimulate creativity within boundaries. But we need those boundaries. That's not a negative thing.
Yeah, so it's maybe a constraint, but it's not a blocker. It's something you need to consider. It's something you need to work around, but it should not refrain you from investigating and looking at this, how to explore this.
Absolutely not. Let us even not forget that the whole GDPR, the whole legislation that is by a lot of people seen as a big burden, the idea of the European Commission was to stimulate a data economy in Europe, to create the same rules for everybody, that we at least know what the rules are, that also the clients and the citizens of Europe know what can be done with their data and what cannot be done, and only that to stimulate a data economy. So we need those rules. We need those rules. Imagine yourself driving on the road without rules. It doesn't work. You need rules, and that will only create more fluidity on the roads and also with respect to data.
Yeah, more medium, long term. Short term, it might slow you down a bit, maybe, but long term, it will. Actually, in one of the previous conversations, we already mentioned that maybe another hurdle to really think at it from a portfolio perspective, to make sure you have a healthy portfolio of short, mid, and long term revenue generating or value generating initiatives, and not fall into the pitfall of the short term value. Another one that I already wrote down that we also discussed was the difficulty in quantifying. That's not always easy to find a good way to quantify the value you generate with the data. You can look at it purely from a financial point of view, but you can also look at it as KPIs and how does it support, push, improve some of the KPIs I'm proposing or trying to achieve. Any other hurdles?
There are a lot of initiatives going on. There is also a big gray zone at this moment, which I especially personally don't like. There's a lot of data exchange data. There's a whole marketplace of data. I think we need to have more transparency on that side. And we also need to have the tools to do that. I think a part of that is created due to the fact that there are just no good tools to exchange data. To exchange data with the consent at the same time. How are you going to do that? But lately, you're seeing more and more initiatives going into that direction, where data sharing can be done while preserving the consent of the data owner, the data subject, in the end. So that and that's, I think, there is still a lot of future in that domain. Last week, I was at the launch of the whole data nutsbedrijf, the data utility company that was organized by the Flemish government. I think we really can be proud in Flanders that we are taking up these kind of initiatives with the clear ambition, okay, how can we exchange data, even supported by the government, in a way that we don't violate privacy, the privacy element of it, or the owner element, ownership element of it. It's still research for a big part. Or there are already some implementations of it, but it will be needed. It's really needed. This is the element that we will need if you really want to boost this kind of data economy.
Yeah. So it's a topic of one of the previous podcasts we did, where we indeed touched on collaborative data ecosystems. That's the podcast, and I think Solid is also one of the principles that the Data Nutsbedrijf is trying to promote. Mm-hmm. Which does indeed look at how can we exchange data with compliance, privacy, by design, integrated into that process. So I like the perspective on, okay, we're going towards data marketplaces, but that means that so we've looked at data monetization initially mostly internally. Now we're gradually also looking at it increasingly externally. But in order to facilitate that, yeah, we need a marketplace. We need a place where we can advertise and share and sell this data without with privacy and compliance in mind, which is a nice segue to indeed more question on how do we see this evolve. So this is definitely one big space. This is the development of marketplaces to facilitate data exchange and data monetization, I suppose. Are there other developments that would be needed to continue to push data monetization?
Transparency, but I think it is already covered. That transparency, either set by legislations that clearly tell us what we can do and we cannot do, and then the technology that supports that. I think both are very, very important. But the legislation, although a lot of people are against it, I'm a big fan of it. I think we really need that. If you don't do it, you might lose, as I already said, the trust. And that might backfire on you, and that people just are not willing to share it anymore. And we see it already more and more and more that people are very reluctant to share data with companies, because they immediately have the feeling like, okay, but you're using me as a product. And I think that's something that we need to avoid towards the future, because people will not do this anymore in the near future. There are people who say, okay, data privacy, it doesn't exist anymore. I'm sorry, but I don't want to live in such a world. I hope that we still can have some data privacy and privacy in our lives. And I think, again, with a good legislation, both can happen and we can still benefit from it in that way.
And does that then also translate to AI? Because in I think you mentioned trust. Trust is important. Trust is also important if you have data. So what's the origin of the data? Was there consent when it was made available? The same could apply on a model or on an insight that it generates. What's the source, the origin of the insight? I mean, Strava, it gives you insights on how is my performance compared to others. You can assume that it's the rest of the Strava user community. So you can derive a bit who's it based on, but you cannot see some of the statistics on what are you now basing yourself on? So on those marketplaces, will lineage within those models then also play a role? Be important to increase or decrease the value of an insight of a piece of data?
I think in terms of transparency and trust, I think there have been a lot of scandals like Cambridge Analytica and so on, which resulted in lower trust in data from the public, I think. And I think if now, if you're talking about what we discussed earlier about selling data, so marketplaces, we were talking about evolutions, I think more marketplaces will be popping up. That's one evolution on the one hand. On the other hand, I think if you're becoming more transparent, which is really key, you're also going to need to explain and justify why you are aggregating the data of someone and you're selling it on a marketplace. So the more you justify it, the less easy it becomes to sell it on a data marketplace, I think. I think, of course, if you're enhancing products or you're giving a better customer experience, then you can justify using the data. But to justify it for selling purposes on a marketplace or even exchanging, that's something much more difficult, I think. So on the other hand, I'm not sure how these marketplaces will be structured. And also in terms of pricing, I think it's a very gray area indeed. It's very difficult to put a price tag on data today. In terms of AI and machine learning and models and so on, I think, yeah, one we already discussed data mesh. Something else that's really trending right now is explainable AI. I think it's super important for people to see how their data is being used and if a model is used on targeting or something else, that it's explained how they used it, how the model works, which data they gathered from the customer and so on. But that's something else than selling data, I think.
But so to your point, so yes, it's going to become more difficult to keep traceability and to have trust as a person to submit your data. On the other hand, I think the example that I had, the point Bart made a bit earlier on the emergence of Solid and where you in which you are owner of your data and you give consent theoretically also for downstream applications and uses of that data. So you should be made aware, I suppose, then of what's happening downstream. So you do have to consent, and if you do, and you see value in it and there's something in it for you, then I suppose that could make sense.
Yeah, indeed. I think you had data business models like Facebook, for example, or Google. We already touched it before. Their business model is really focused on gathering data, aggregating it and personalization and so on. I think if we can see a shift towards more decentralization of the ownership, then we will see a shift in the industry as well, because instead of aggregating data and giving the power to the corporates, now people will become owner of their own data. And then you will really need to focus on the added value for the people if they are willing to share that data.
For me, I had kind of an aha moment, Bart, when you mentioned this. So data monetization, it's something fairly recent, but the point is really what's the meaning of this. It's actually a word that's been used to try and stimulate people to think beyond kind of local cases, to think what data can generate and can mean for others, so that that's the power of this word. Data monetization is to try and nudge people to think value and how can data generate value for others, even if it's small initiatives, small things that you do, but you are consciously thinking of it.
So you go beyond that. There's the very old motto, data as an asset. Okay, an asset, like crude oil, it's an asset, but doesn't still bring any value. Now we really try to stimulate people like, no, make something with that asset, build something with it. And perhaps then crude oil is not a good example because we need to stop using that one. But with data, I think we still need to start building good tools that bring an extra added value to our lives. And there again, with decentralization, with ownership, with transparency, I think we are going in a good direction.
Yeah, so it's an important next step to think value first on data. Thank you very much. For me, it clarified a lot. I think the rather fuzzy term of data monetization. Going into the conversation, I was a bit doubtful whether it added anything to the world of data, being so broad and so all-encompassing, so to say. But with the insights you've given, I see a point now in using the term to try and change a bit the culture around data, and especially of the data teams themselves. So very insightful. Thank you very much for the inputs, both. And thank you very much for listening to the audience. See you on, I hear you on the next podcast.